Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Surprise round one pedigree for a number of wide receivers. We've got the fall of two notables, especially going all the way down the board. And then finally, how about the sneaky Patriots building around Drake May? I'm Chad Parsons, talking about the three biggest wide receiver storylines coming out of the NFL draft, recapping 2024 team building for NFL teams as well as dynasty teams. Let's start out with surprise round one pedigree. We are talking about Ricky Pearsall, and we're talking about Xavier Leggett going late in the round, last couple of picks here, but both of them landing in optimistic settings. Now, the unique part of their profile and why there was so much pressure on guys like Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Leggett, A.D. Mitchell, and others, and more pressure on them, Brian Thomas as well, than some of the other profiles like Xavier Worthy, is because they had fragile metric profiles. When you lack production, when you have flags in your production track record and profile, that means round one is more important and critical. Because if you are an elite profile, you get a relative pass if you slide to round two. While it makes a difference if you go round one versus round two, you don't fall off a cliff. It merely enhances what you already have. With Ricky Pearsall, with Xavier Leggett, both of them historically low yards per route run for their career. They were both also late producers in their collegiate career, and that's troublesome. Now, the good news is they secured round one pedigree. Here's the even better news. Both of them, by measure of typical round one picks, round one pedigree, they're going pretty cheap in Superflex drafts. One of them, if not both, are probably going to sit there for you at 205, 206, 207, that range of the second round. And essentially, what that means is you have to take them. When they get that late, if you have a pick in that range, you have to take them, because round one pedigree is what you're searching for at the wide receiver position. Ricky Pearsall, a lot of his value is going to be tied to what happens with Brandon Ayuk. What happens with Deebo Samuel? They're going to block him right now. He's going to be fighting for the wide receiver three role. This could be a slower burn to get a prominent role in that depth chart. However, if Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel is traded, game on with Ricky Pearsall. A lot of good ancillary athleticism for his testing, especially as quality three cone, a good enough 40 time. And again, that's helpful at the wide receiver position with the moniker of, and with the caveat, if you're not going to be a high level producer. And Ricky Pearsall has not been. So while these are two profiles that I had a lot of pre-draft concerns about, the key is price. And when you say the if either of these guys were going knee deep in UTH target players at say like 110 to 112, 201, I would be all out on both of these wide receivers. However, you get to the mid second, it gets a little dry in terms of some of the other target players, and it's easy to be all in. So while these profiles are concerning and they don't have quite enough production, again, the critical element is round one saves a lot of the hit rate probability for wide receivers. And now, again, it's all in shades. Obviously, they're not Marvin Harrison Jr., top five and with elite profile. They're not Malik Nabers. They're not Romo Odunze with high-level profiles and top 10 pedigree. But when you get outside the top 10, that's when things are relatively similar. And that's why when you look at the difference between Brian Thomas and then the prices of Ricky Pearsall and Xavier Leggett, it doesn't make a lot of sense because they all have flaws, they all have warts, and they all did not go in the top 10, which is a different strata of prospects at wide receiver than going top five or having an elite profile overall. So this is great news for rookie drafters. And again, that's why pre-draft versus post-draft, you can have concerns about a player, but if they get the right pedigree, and here's the critical element, they also have a sliding and conducively discounted price in your dynasty drafts, that's when you can actually get on board with them as a target player. And hitting on Xavier Leggett, again, the athleticism is obvious. And here's the other part. Look at this formula for Carolina. They have built things out around Bryce Young. This could have been one of the features of quarterback storylines coming out of the draft as well, because they have built up the offensive line. Also brought in Deontay Johnson. They already have Adam Thielen. They drafted Jatavion Sanders, who fell to round four. And then you say, what do they not have at wide receiver? They've got the chain mover in Deontay Johnson. They've got, again, an even better short-range chain mover in terms of converting third down, sticky hands, run the right route, nuances of the position for a decade plus, and that is Adam Thielen. What they don't have is a potential game breaker. What they don't have is someone who can run a slant and keep going. Take the slant to the house like A.J. Brown, like D.K. Metcalf. Overt size and speed. And they have that. Leggett, it took him a while for the light to come on. And again, skeptical of the fifth-year breakout and someone that was a relative non-producer for 80-plus percent of their college career. However, athletic and now with round one pedigree. And that is where you can get on board when the price is conducive. And it certainly is in typically the mid second round of drafts. Second big wide receiver storyline coming out of the NFL draft. How about the fall of notable players and profiles? So let's start with A.D. Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell is the opposite of what I just mentioned with Ricky Pearsall and Xavier Leggett. He had an iffy profile, but he had a round one possibility in the pre-draft discussion. So again, he was going to be potentially in the Pearsall and Leggett discussion. And if he had gotten round one pedigree, goes somewhere in the 20s or early 30s, all life is good. However, he fell outside the top 50 and everyone wants to give him a pass. We see this every year when fallers, and again, I'm going to have another one here, that the market refuses to adjust accordingly for the rookie draft valuation and status and hierarchy. So A.D. Mitchell, with a flimsy production profile, he would have, again, doesn't make a lot of sense if he were to go round one, but he would be protected like Pearsall and Leggett. But when you start falling into day two, all of a sudden, those protectors, that backstop, those restrictor plates come off of the floor of your probabilities. And here's the other part. A.D. Mitchell goes to the Colts, where they just signed Michael Pittman, who's going to be the number one wide receiver. This is, at best, a speed-based number two. It seems like A.D. Mitchell, they're going to hope that he can become what Alec Pierce has not. And they spent similar pedigree on Alec Pierce, and I think it's instructive to say that's how life could change in 1 to 2 years in the NFL. I don't care if you were drafted in round two or not. And so A.D. Mitchell goes to a situation, we don't know how pass heavy they're going to be with Anthony Richardson. Probably not a ton. I wouldn't be if I had Richardson and Jonathan Taylor, notably in the run game. And again, Michael Pittman is atop that depth chart, just got new big contract money. So situationally concerned about that for A.D. Mitchell. And again, he's an example of the have and have nots, where you have the boom bust profile, you fall to round two, specifically with Mitchell outside the top 50. And that becomes highly concerning historically in terms of the hit rates and probabilities, and frankly, just becoming a guy that flashes a little bit and never really turns into much of anything. Next, we have Troy Franklin. And Troy Franklin is one I liked quite a bit. If you remember pre-draft, he was being projected in the top 50 or so and had some round one possibilities. But round two seemed like a lock. Fast forward Thursday, doesn't get drafted in the first round. Okay, line him up, one of the best, you know, 15, 20 players that's going to come off the board Friday night. Nope, no dice. Ends up passing all the way through, ends up being an early day three pick. Now, one piece of good news is Denver traded up pretty aggressively to get him, and he lands in Denver where he's going to be Bo Nix's teammate as he was at Oregon. So those are positives. And I would say this, Troy Franklin has a quality profile so that if you are betting on a day three wide receiver, Troy Franklin is that guy. Now, here's the problem. He's going too high. He's one that, again, I thought he would be a clear-cut target player. He ends up being an avoid player. So that's a tough pill to swallow, and that's why I think it's critical to keep adapting to new information. So, again, I like Troy Franklin. However, this is you should not be taking round day three wide receivers in the first two rounds of your rookie drafts in Superflex. You just should not. And here's the problem. His confidence curve starts at about 201. It ends at 210. So it's a wide range. However, like I just said, with 210, he's not even getting to the third round. I have him with an early third round valuation because he has a quality profile and because he was one that, frankly, has a target profile and you should be targeting him within the range of his pedigree. At the higher end of that. And the higher band is the earlier third round. But he is going way too early. He's going pretty much even with Xavier Leggett, sometimes ahead of him in those drafts. And he's going right behind Ricky Pearsall. That is heresy when you look at pedigree in the macro and historically speaking. So they should be relatively far apart, and they are not. So Troy Franklin is one that it really hurts my heart. Because he's one I thought would be a clear-cut target player. There was a lot of concern about him coming out of the NFL Combine. Should have ran the 4.3s. He ran the 4.4s, the bad gauntlet. You know, he's kind of all over the place in some of the drills. Yet, it didn't really affect him too much because if you had put that together with falling in the NFL draft, I would have thought he would have been someone that we could have considered in the mid to later third round. And he's just not getting there. So it's an unfortunate part that the market and the cost needs to align to make a true target player. And Troy Franklin does not qualify here.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric smart color-changing light bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Say big on all Fight Lighting smart home products. Now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. Continuing the theme of falling players and profiles, how about Johnny Wilson? This is another one that I was really excited about. There not had been much rumor that he was going to play or transition to tight end. Full-on wide receiver. He had a good workout, ran in the 4.5s. Life was good for the super size. 6'5", 6'6", 230-plus pounds, and enough production, even though he had some flags there. But it seemed like he was round three possibility, round four at worst. He ended up fading later on day three, going pretty late, you know, and to the point of this is not the zone you want to invest in wide receiver at all. Teams basically passed five or six times on Johnny Wilson. He ends up going to the Eagles. If I wanted to paint a positive picture, it would be that I think he's going to have an easier chance cracking a notable point on the tight end depth chart than the wide receiver depth chart. And I wouldn't put it past the Eagles to transition him to tight end or, you know, a move chess piece. And I would give more faith and credence in that happening with the Eagles than most of the other teams in the NFL. Dallas Goedert, he's getting older. We really haven't seen a huge ceiling when it seemed like he might have been on a better trajectory a few years ago. So I could see and squint and see that storyline coming over the next 2 to 3 years. The bad news is you've got Devonta Smith, you've got AJ Brown. Both of them just got new money. And this is going to be a tough 1-2 punch to crack in any foreseeable future. Being the wide receiver three on this offense would be relatively insignificant outside of potentially one of those two other guys missing time. And you're basically an injury away wide receiver three with upside to maybe be a flex option if the right circumstance strikes. So as Johnny Wilson, the wide receiver, goes, not super excited about that. Now, Johnny Wilson, the what percent chance could he be a tight end? I'm a little bit interested in tight end premium, but it still has to be a good deal. And you're probably talking late third or even the fourth round of a strong premium for tight end format. I know he's categorized as a wide receiver right now, but just on the prospect that you could slash him, see if he ends up going to tight end in the future, that's probably worth one of your final picks of the draft. And finally in this bucket, Brendan Rice. So related to Jerry Rice, he was getting some buzz. Well-rounded wide receiver, even though he didn't have any dominant traits in his profile, thought that he was going to be around 3, 4, 5 selection, ends up almost falling out of the draft. So that minimal pedigree is a huge turnoff. And again, a notable storyline in this draft. Now, he did land with the Los Angeles Chargers, and that's going to be, you know, a depth chart that's relatively uncertain. Now, it's not like he's passing Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnston, or Ladd McConkey, who was drafted earlier this year by the team. He's going to have a tough time passing any of those guys. But he is on that proverbial chip, chair, and a chance possibility, even if it's only, you know, 3%, 5%. It's very low odds, you know, and especially it's going to be typically what's worse than those odds is actually the fact that you typically have to hold for a while and longer than earlier picks to truly get your shot. But Brendan Rice was another notable name and profile that was falling down the draft board. Finally, our third storyline here, the sneaky New England Patriots. So they ended up turning down some trade offers and going with Drake May at 103. So they did give up some capital, but they got their quarterback. Now, the biggest concern about them going quarterback or whoever was going to land there, whether it was J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, was the most likely choices there, was that this was considered the worst landing spot of all of the notable quarterback spots in the first 5 to 10 picks of the draft. And so it's, what are they going to do? They have Kendrick Bourne and DeMario Douglas and Hunter Henry. That's kind of the construct of what they had going into the landing spot for the quarterback. Now, that said, I think the Patriots did about as well as they could do in this draft. So they found Jalen Polk in the second round. Now, a lot of the wide receivers were gone at that point. There was a run early in the second round as well. Now, here's the interesting part with Jalen Polk, and I haven't shared this on any other UTH platform yet, but it applies to this storyline and talking about the Patriots and how they built out their wide receiver core. Now, there's a profile, and I have this working hypothesis, and I haven't really worked this out completely. But when I started looking at round two wide receivers that were similar to Jalen Polk's profile, I found kind of a little bit of stickiness to the theme, the storyboard that I was talking about just a second ago, which is when a wide receiver gets drafted where they're good but not great, and especially if they have just okay athleticism and a little bit above average production, not elite, but good production, that equation has always piqued my interest. Guys like Jarvis Landry, for example. This applies to Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco back in the day. It applied to Jordy Nelson. These types of round two wide receivers. And basically, Jalen Polk fits in line with that. He has a 32% athleticism score and a 52% production score. So again, he's good but not great is the answer. Now, when they get stronger pedigree than you think, you know, a lot of times we sit and we armchair quarterback these drafts and we go, you know, why don't you draft a super athletic guy? Why don't they draft a AD Mitchell? Well, you know, you start saying all this, and the NFL teams, again, they invest a second round pick. That's a starting wide receiver for them. They're projecting big things, and especially on an exploitable depth chart like the Patriots. So they brought in Jalen Polk. And let me just read. So guys that have had a less than 50% athleticism score, but then a more than 50% production score, but less than elite, you know, not 85, 90 plus percent. Here are the recent examples. We've got Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Reuben Randall, Jordy Nelson, Anquan Boldin, Chad Johnson, and Fearless Price. That's the list in round two. And you want to know the theme or the takeaway here? That was seven guys. Six of them were fantasy starters in the NFL. And all six, so six of the seven, 85, 86% were multiple hit players. The one that did not, Reuben Randall. And Reuben Randall went from 5 points per game in year one to 8 to 11. So he was still, when he was getting near to the end of his rookie contract, a relevant player in the NFL, and one that I remember, you know, back, you know, now we're 12 years ago, Reuben Randall coming into the league. I remember he had buzz in certain off seasons of saying he's going to take the next step and be one of the next big things. He never did. But that's the notable miss in this subset of prospect that fits this storyline for Jalen Polk. So Jalen Polk is one that, again, I think if you're a Patriots fan, if you're a Drake May fan, you should be a little more excited about that particular addition for this depth chart. And again, they missed out. I mean, Jalen Polk was going late within the position. So this is a stacked board, as you know, and he ended up going as wide receiver 10 off the board. We had Keon Coleman, we had Ladd McConkey going ahead of him in round two, and we had seven more wide receivers going in round one. So again, Jalen Polk, when you kind of look at what the options were for the Patriots between he, A.D. Mitchell, Malachi Corley, Jermaine Burton, Roman Wilson, it really was getting thin at that point in time. And Jalen Polk, I think, was a savvy pick, considering they really had a bad run against them by 37 overall. And then the other part about the sneaky Patriots is they added Javon Baker. Javon Baker, and I know he's getting well known for, it was either Instagram or an X video that he shared about him working out and basically saying, you know, everyone's going to regret it. I'm an elite receiver in this league. You watch, you know, no one's going to beat me. So again, not counting all of that, but he was a good and sneaky prospect that was probably going to go round three, round four, round five. He goes early round four. And again, when you look at it, was either he or Devontae Walker, in my opinion. And then there was another pretty clear drop off at the position. We already talked about Johnny Wilson. He was available as well at that point in time. But the point is, there weren't a lot of good profiles left, and Javon Baker was one of them. So I think the Patriots, when you say, hey, they didn't get extra capital, they got their quarterback in round one, and they needed to build around the position. They did Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, two quality picks where they got them within the position especially. And then they also, again, this is not a wide receiver point, but more of a macro team building point, they brought in Jaheim Bell in round seven. So that's more of a tight end takeaway here, but he's an offensive weapon. He can play two, three different spots there on offense. So intriguing weapons. And yes, the Patriots at present don't have a clear alpha wide receiver or anything of the ilk, but they have added quality depth and given Drake May a chance in terms of the weapons. And one of my biggest takeaways for the Patriots coming into this year is I still think, you know, we can say that the Patriots are light at the skill positions. It's still better than anything Drake May ever had at UNC. So he still may have gotten the worst landing spot, but it's much better than it was when he was selected at number three overall. There you have it. My biggest three wide receiver storylines coming out of the NFL draft. As always, you want some premium podcasts, you can go check out uthdynasty.com and the VIP chat plus the free draft guide if you sign up as an all pro at patreon.com/UTH. Thanks so much for listening. As always, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric smart color-changing light bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Save big on all Fight Lighting smart home products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.